Welcome to another episode of the Unveiling Grace podcast. My name is Lynn Wilder.
And I'm Michael Wilder.
And I have been looking forward to this interview for a very, very long time. We have with us today Mike and Rosa Abate. These two have a ministry in Mexico down in one of the fundamentalist FLDS colonies down in Mexico, the Liberian colony. But they are Christians, and I understand that Mike is a pastor and that he is letting people know the gospel down there and that they have seen salvations. And so we are so excited first to hear their stories. I understand Rosa grew up in this community, but we're excited to learn more about it. We occasionally have interviewed folks out of fundamentalism here, and we've heard some wonderful salvation stories. So we're excited to hear some more. Welcome, Mike and Rosa.
Yes.
Thank you for having us. Thank you. This is really exciting for us too.
One of the things we find when we go to churches is they're not aware that folks still live polygamy sometimes. And then even when they find out about it, maybe from some of the reality shows like My Five Wives, I'm not sure they connect that necessarily to Mormonism. But I can tell you, when I was Mormon, I was a Relief Society president, and I was actually charged with having to teach a lesson once a year on how we would be polygamous, the righteous Mormons who went to the celestial kingdom and were sealed together, expected to live polygamy in the next life in order to people our own world. And that was part of what we believed. The women that I taught this to did not like it, didn't like to hear it, but it is in LDS scripture, and it is still in Doctrine and Covenants 132, which forms the foundation for the fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. So you know much more than I do. Please tell us about these wonderful people.
Go ahead, Russ.
Well, the group that I'm from literally comes out from my grandfather, Alma Dare LeBaron Sr., that came after there was persecution in Utah, after they had not allowed polygamy anymore to be able to become a state. Then his family moved to Chihuahua, and some of the family first moved to Mesa, Arizona, Phoenix area. And then eventually my grandpa, being a farmer, he moved over across the line into Mexico. And however, after when the Mexican Revolution came in 1910, all the Americans were pretty much kicked out by Pancho Villa, and he was the general in this part of the country in Chihuahua. And so my grandpa and his two wives and all the children went back to the United States for a time. And after the revolution, they were invited to come back to take over some of their lands and so forth. So however, the main church at that time, including the ones that had been polygamous, a lot of them were required to leave their wives and to be able to comply with the U.S. government laws. So that happened, and my grandpa was totally said no. That was a principle, the main principle that makes us Mormon, according to Joseph Smith in the teachings. And that's the only way we can get to the celestial kingdom, which is the highest kingdom in the Mormon tradition, since there's three stages of glory for them. And so my grandpa refused to do that. And after a while, he had to kind of find his own land for his family to be at peace, even away from the LDS church at that time. Because the LDS church said no polygamy, anybody that lives it is going to be excommunicated. And so basically, my grandpa moved away about 40 miles from where they were at the time. Of course, I wasn't born yet. And that's where I was born and raised in this colony, which now is pretty darn large. And of course, polygamy still being practiced there.
So let's give people a little bit of history. That revelation came to the Mormon prophet, I believe, in 1890, correct? That they were no longer then going to practice polygamy, although even mainstream men high up in the church were still practicing polygamy many years after that, underground, of course. So yeah. Because it was against the law in the United States, and because Utah wanted to become a state, and they were told they couldn't, because they were living polygamy and it was against the law, then many polygamists left Utah. Some went underground, put wives in different houses, made it look like they weren't living polygamy, right? And some went to Canada, and those polygamy colonies still exist in Canada. And some went to Mexico, and that's where your grandfather went, right?
That's correct.
I've got a question. I like time periods. So when your father came out of Mexico and went north to the U.S. because of the revolution, about what year was that?
Well, it was not my father, it was my grandfather.
I mean, your grandfather, excuse me.
Your grandfather. That was 1910, 1911. The revolution broke out in 1910. So sometime within that year, 1911.
Okay. So he came from Chihuahua back to the U.S. around 1910. And then how long was he in the U.S.?
I really don't know. I know that they came back after the revolution sometime in the 20s. And then our town was founded in the early 40s, 40 miles away from there. Okay. I would have to go back to the history book and look at that, because there is a book written on our family and with those details. But
You're talking about the town of LeBaron.
That's correct. Okay. So early 1940s is when it was founded. Yes.
Okay. And it was founded by
my grandpa and his adult sons and some teenagers at that point. That's correct. Okay. So it was my grandpa and his immediate family. Actually, it turned out to be his first wife. Second wife went back to the States or never came back after grandpa came back. I'm not quite sure about that one, but she left him and stayed in Southern Utah with her family, with her children.
Okay, he marry again?
No, he was elderly by then, and he actually passed away in his late 60s late 60s, overworked farmer and painter. He'd go to Southern Utah to paint, I understand he even painted the St. George Temple one time, So there's a lot of roots in Southern Utah with our family and history.
Did you grow up expecting then to live polygamy, to stay in the community?
I was raised in this community, in this fundamentalist church, where since you're little, as a girl, as a kid, boy or girl, doesn't matter, you're taught the three major foundations for being able to either be just a good person or get to the one or the other levels or get to the celestial level. So, as a kid, you're kind of competitive. You want to go to the celestial level. So you just assume you're going to do all those things that you can go to the highest possible heaven on earth as a kid. So it was very ingrained in us.
And in that community, that meant living polygamy, correct?
Oh, yes, living polygamy. You cannot make it to the celestial level, is what the fundamentalists teach, without living polygamy. That's correct. And my father was a polygamist.
Tell us a little bit about that lifestyle. What was your growing up like?
Well, the biggest thing is you really never have a dad because they're so busy, either trying to provide or stretching themselves out very thin with so many families and being part of the leaders of the church. And my father was one of the leaders in that fundamentalist church. So it was very, very, it was a happy farming kind of life, but you really didn't have a real father around very much when you were You know, you knew he was there. You knew he'd kind of come into town, but could be months and months and you'd not see him. Guess he was either working in the United States and not coming home, or home and very, very busy with meetings and children and wives.
Okay. Well, let me, you know, I know when I was in the LDS church, I mean, I remember just some weeks, I know I spent between 30 to 40 hours of working for the LDS church, and then trying to run my business on the side. I can't imagine trying to have two families or three families to interact and still do all the other things you have to do. Because again, part of the process in the LDS church is that, you know, you're gaining your salvation. You have to show that you're worth something, you know, by doing your callings and then, you know, being a, you know, FLDS philosophy of taking the teachings of Joseph Smith and bringing them and saying, this is what Joseph Smith taught, and this is what we're going to believe, and this is what we're going to do. Where the LDS church in Salt Lake, they backed down from that because they wanted to become a state at that point. But so your father, you know, he meant well, obviously. He really believed he was doing the right thing, just as I believe for 30 years I was doing the right thing in the LDS church. So he was providing for his family. So did he have two wives or three wives? How many wives do you know of that he had?
That I know of, even after I grew up and became an adult and moved away and got married, there's really about nine wives.
Really?
Yeah. So wow. I have 36 children. I'm sorry, siblings through my father. Okay. Yeah, and then 14 stepchildren. So it was an extremely large family. Another thing that happens is when you're a teenager, you're kind of put to work part-time somehow with some kind of business, depends on what it is in the family. So you can kind of help the family. So, you know, it's difficult to really, you don't, in these communities, you don't grow up as a normal, we would see a normal American kid that is going to go through high school and then go look for college. Usually by the time you finish middle school, start a little high school, you start working. So, you know, the work ethic was very, very part of the life of our family and in the community. Very, very strong.
Wow. That's amazing.
And women worked very hard. Did your husband's wives live under the same roof? I mean, your father's wives?
No, never. Most of the family, that was the exception if they lived in the same roof or near next to each other. Usually it was separate homes. So.
And then the father would rotate?
Yes.
One home, one night. And goodness. And were all of your dad's wives in the LeBaron community, or some were back in the United States?
Some are back in the United States for periods of time. It just depends on what the work was needing. What was the situation going on in the extended family or under the dad to provide.
So it was difficult for you to go back and forth from the United States, probably, in your community.
Oh, absolutely.
For work and to bring money home, et cetera.
That's correct.
Although it's gotten quite dangerous, has it not, in northern Mexico and near the border?
Well, really, right at the present time, it's not as dangerous as it was like in 10 years ago. We went through a difficult time in the whole country, especially in northern Mexico with cartel life. But right now it's pretty calm. And we are thankful for that. Yes.
Although fairly recently, there was a death in the news of a LeBaron family that was shot and killed by the cartels, women and children.
Yeah, that was in 2019, but that was actually in the state of Sonora, which borders with Chihuahua. So it's literally a four-hour drive from our community. It's not, a lot of people think it's in our community. It's not. But a lot of some of the families from our community were intermarried with the families of that community, of La Mora. So that's where the relationship comes there. A lot of families through marriage. that are together. Mm-hmm. But the community is definitely 4 hours away. It's not that close.
So I've got a question. You guys are doing, you have a church set up down in LeBaron. That's the name of the city. Is that correct? And you're reaching out to people to teach them the gospel, which is great. The good news, not the other gospel, but the true gospel of the Bible. And the interaction of women you come in contact or men who may be practicing polygamy, are any of them attending, or are they questioning polygamy, or they said, maybe this is not quite right? Tell us of any interesting stories you might have concerning that, Mike, well, or anybody.
Yeah. Well, really what we see people coming while they're in crisis, you know how we always tend to look for God when we have a crisis in our lives, no matter who we are. Yes. Well, including me, I came to Christ during a crisis. You know, I searched him and there he was waiting for me, but that's a different story. But to answer your story, we get visitors that are curious, or some that already have come to Christ and they're growing in Christ in our church and being in discipling classes and so forth. And then they bring their friends, and their friends they want to know what this is. A lot of parents, although they live polygamy, they say, you know, going to a Christian church is okay. They're learning the Bible. You know, those are beginning steps to being a good Mormon, usually, you know. So they're okay with that. And then the teenagers or the women come to Christ, and their life starts changing, and they see change in their lives. I have a precious aunt that is just had her 90th birthday a year or so back. And when we went to her birth party, we lean in to give her a hug, and she whispers in our ear, and she goes, you know, I hear that all of my grandkids that are going to your church are doing much better. They act better. They do better than the ones that don't. So we were like, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know,
that is good news. That's nice. Exciting. So, yeah. Wow. You know, it just makes you want to try to do more and more and more, but God leads and directs and will call people to your church that they may be touched by your message that you're giving there. Now the question I have, okay, so how did Mike and Rosanna meet? Okay, where did you meet? Like in Paris? No, traveling the world on a world cruise, how did this come together?
Well, I was living in San Diego. I had been a single parent for 11 years. My first marriage had failed through Mormon fundamentalist polygamy. I never did live polygamy, but it was a very abusive marriage. So I left it. So I've been alone for 11 years with 6 children. And my husband had been alone for quite a few years with 3 children. Well, we met at back to school night with our 2 daughters. They were best friends. Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, our daughters they were in high school together, being best friends. One would come over, the other one would go over to do homework and so forth. And the Lord used that about 3 or 4 months later, after the girls thinking it was really cute, if we went out on a date, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So really you had one daughter talking to another daughter from the husband's side, from Mike's side, and the daughters probably got together and says, hey, why don't your mom marry my dad? Oh, why don't your dad marry my mom? And they set up the whole event, right? Is that?
Well, they thought it was kind of cute at first, you know, But after.
Then they got scared.
Yeah.
Then they got scared. You're going to be my sister. Oh, you can't be my best friend and sister, right?
Yeah.
That's the way that the Lord used it.
Yeah. And so a few months later, I think we've been dating about 6 months, and Michael, my husband, wanted to meet my family. So we came to LeBaron for a family reunion back in 93, and he got to meet my family, and that was quite an event for him. He could share about that if he wants.
Yeah,
there was a very, very interesting one event at this family reunion which they're usually about 3 days long, okay? And they have sporting events and they have picnics, they have dinners, they have lunches, different farms, different ranches. Anyway, in this one, we were, all the grandkids were getting together and they wanted to have a picture with Grandpa, Grandpa Alma Dyer LeBaron Jr., okay? They wanted him in the middle, and they put a sombrero on him so they couldn't lose him in the picture. And then all these kids kept coming in, and the picture kept growing and growing and growing. And I was like, I was taking the picture, okay? And so I got back, and I had a wide-angle lens, but I kept having to scoot back and scoot back and scoot back further because it was just getting too big. Okay, it was just getting too big. And finally, I said, okay, come on. Everybody get in the picture that's going to be in the picture before somebody else has another baby. And everybody laughed, and they all got in the picture. And this picture, I think it had like, I don't know, like 300 kids in it. Oh, grandkids of Rosa's dad, who would become my suegro, my father-in-law.
Wow.
Amazing.
It was through that process, and subsequent experiences that eventually, when we did get married in 1996, her dad was, he got to liking me because I was bringing Rosa back to the colony.
You were going to live there.
Because she hadn't been there for 30 some odd years. Mm-hmm. And she just didn't want to have anything to do with that. And so we started coming, and he was excited about that. So he kind of put his sons on the task of, we need to win Mike to the one true church. Okay. He's a Christian. Yeah. But you know, we can win him. You know, Joseph Smith won a lot of Christians, and that's how the church got started. And so my future father-in-law had this focus, and he began working with his sons on it. And then some years later, we were working in a church in North Texas, Denton, mm-hmm. Texas. And we used to go because I was a missions pastor. I'd become a missions pastor there, working in computers during the week. It wasn't unpaid, but during all the other times of the services and this and that, I organized mission outreaches with the church. And so we would go once a year to this missions conference in California. And in 2005, we went to this missions conference. And after the conference, I reached out to my folks, and we reached out to Rosa's dad. He was living in Ensenada at the time. South of Ensenada
that's Mexico, Baja California.
Baja California. And my folks were still in San Diego. So we would take that opportunity to extend the time for the missions conference and go visit our folks. And then we'd go back to Texas. Well, when we reached out to my father-in-law, he says, oh, yes, come down and see me. I happen to be in Tijuana at the time, and we can have lunch and this and that. So we went and we met him and visited with him. And then he says, well, you need to come down if you have time. Come down to the ranch there in south of Ensenada and visit with me there and spend the night.
Go
ahead. So we did.
So after spending some time with him and my father, it was after that tsunami that was so severe back in Asia back then. So yes. They were talking about that and prophecy, and my father wanted to share some prophecies with him, Mormon prophecies. My husband says, well, that reminds me of the Daniel the prophet, you know, certain prophecies. They got talking, and they stayed up talking for long time over the
70 weeks prophecy.
Yeah, 70 weeks prophecy. Ooh. My father asked him to, if he would be willing, if my husband would be willing to organize the next family reunion. So,
which was a big deal.
Yeah, that's major. You know, when Michael came and shared that with me, because I'm an early to bed person, so I didn't stay up with him for hours. And so when he came and shared that with me, I had just finished the study, a Christian study that is called Experiencing God.
And oh, no.
Yeah, when Michael shared this with me, I said, God is at work. This is not something my father would do. God is at work. So as we prayed over the situation, I encouraged him to really pray, because I really felt this was something God was doing. It wasn't normal, you know. And so he said yes to my dad, and my dad said he would have plenty of helpers. So a year and a half later, we found ourselves in LeBaron.
2006,
over the 4th of July weekend, and organized this family reunion with lots and lots of helps and a service that my dad said he could do anything he wants. So,
we got
a Christian service.
We are down to our last minute, and so this is a perfect cliffhanger.
Yes,
for part two. So, Mike and Rosa are in charge of the LeBaron family reunion down in Mexico. Did you do it?
In LeBaron.
In LeBaron, in Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Praise God. And you get to do a Christian service. Wow. Grace and peace to you, my friends. I can't wait to hear how this ends up.
Oh, this is a great story. And may God bless.